It's good to see each one of you here this evening as we come to have our Bible study. We are finishing our study in the book of 2 Peter. I have another book that should be prepared, hopefully next week. I've got one more chapter to do, and that's going to be the book of Philippians. So we'll see how far we get with this. This might either take 1 or 2 weeks. Don't forget page number 38. Page number 38. Because page 38, that takes you both through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And that which is in the red should help you find the verse that I'm looking for. So that, you know, they've got 20 more questions on page 38 as we tie everything together. But this evening, we're on page number 36. I'm going to start the questions tonight. And before we do that, we're going to have Joe, if you will, to lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. All right, when we started our study of book in 1 and 2 Peter, in 1 Peter, we started out the very first chapter talking about the living hope, chapter 1. And then we talked about different problems that they were facing, especially in chapter 5, the devil, the lion, who wants to devour us. In chapter 2, we started out with something positive. Joe, I know, knows this by memory. If you do these things, you will never fall. So you started out in 2 Peter chapter 1 with something very positive. Then in chapters 2 and 3, it dealt again with false teachers. So it's interesting how he goes about both these books. Starts out with the positive. Here's what you have. Here's what you have to deal with. Here's what you can have. Here's what you have to deal with. So we finished 2 weeks ago discussing the text of 2 Peter chapter 3. So this evening, we're going to look at the questions, and we're going to begin with question one this evening. When did the last days begin, and what warning does Peter give? Okay, when did the last days begin?
Pentecost.
All right, as we look at that, let's go ahead. Steph, you said you could read. So I want you to Acts chapter 2. Let's everybody go to Acts chapter 2. And verses 16 and 17, Acts chapter 2, 16 and 17, and Steph will read that for us. Okay, look at verse 16. This is that. Is Peter inspired?
Yes.
So we know he's not making a mistake here. And what he's saying is this is that. They have just heard the apostles doing what prior to this? Speaking in tongues, which were other languages, correct? So he's saying, okay, this is that. And then he talks about the last days. So we have that. We have the book of Hebrews. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. There's our thumbnail sketch right from Acts chapter 2. Are we in the last days? Absolutely. Because it's going to be the last dispensation of time before this world, as we know of it, it's going to be destroyed. I say as we know it, the world is going to be destroyed. I'm not taking the position of the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's going to be destroyed. All right, but also I have on that question, what warning does Peter give? Okay, you had some scoffers. Now we're going to talk more about that. He's not slack. Trouble is, we try to gear things in whose time frame? Ours. Is God concerned about our time frame? No. He's concerned about his time frame. And therefore, it's very difficult. We just need to be prepared. So everybody have that for question one, the last days, Pentecost, and there's going to be scoffers. But basically, not only that, we are to be what? Ready. We're to be prepared. Could the Lord come tomorrow? Sure. Will he come tomorrow? I don't know. He could come in my lifetime. Could he come in your lifetime? He may not. He may not come for another 1,000 years. But I need to live as if he's coming back while I'm living. Because if I don't live with that mindset, what's something easy for us to do? To become slack, right? To become almost to the point of callous and not doing those things that God would want us to do. Anybody else on question one? Let's go to page 37. That brings us to the scoffers. Question number two was, what were the scoffers willingly forgetting? And what illustration did he give? The flood. Should they have known about the flood? But this they what? They didn't simply forgot. They willfully have forgotten. Then it happened. Many in our society, including many religious people, don't even have that on their mental radar that he might come back in our time. Is that possible? And in fact, even some in the Lord's church, we don't have that on our mental radar that he is. But he did come back. Now, we understand that the reason why, but we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But it's important to know that he's going to come back. God always keeps his promises. True or false? God's not like you and I. When he makes a promise, it's going to happen. I just don't know when. So therefore, you know, I use this. This is not the question, but I use this. Years and years ago when I was a very young man, the question would always come out, what is the purpose of life? And like I said, Christians know the answer to that. Glorify God. That's the purpose of life. No matter who you are, that is the purpose of life. Glorify our Creator, correct? Do we know? Now, so again, it's not some big dilemma that we don't have an idea. I've often told Susan if I had nothing to do, I'd go to take some college psychology classes in college just to upset the teacher because I'd be raising my hand all the time and tell them what the answers are. But I do know the purpose of life if I believe the Bible. And the Bible simply tells us that we shouldn't be scoffers, and therefore let's be prepared. I tie that together with Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What do we have at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12? Fear God and keep his commandments. Okay, and the idea of fear is a reverential fear. You don't want to displease God. Do most people even think about God when they make choices? No, including many religious people. If we were concerned that much, guess how full this building would be tonight? Every pew would be filled with people. But it's not, because people aren't interested in the spiritual. I think they're kind of like the ostrich, out of sight, out of mind. Gary and then Daryl.
Part of a large vessel sticking out of the side of the mountain up there at the top of
Ararat.
And you've got people in every culture just about that has some kind of record of a flood in their history where the evidences, the Chinese language brings out evidence that from their characters that...
The Chinese especially do, yes.
They had knowledge of a flood.
Absolutely. Daryl.
Just on this whole time that what he's directing the scoffers to, too, is it, how many people do you hear today saying, I don't think God's going to send anybody to hell? That's what he's trying to show them right here. God has judged the unrighteous once before, and he's promised he's going to do it again.
I love your point. I'm going to just say a brief thing in addition to what you said, because I could go off on a tangent on this. If I end up in hell, it's choices I've made. God has done everything he has for us. That's why Jesus came to this earth and died. And we learn later in this chapter, that's why the end hasn't come, because he's long-suffering. But guess what? The bottom line is, I'm responsible. But people don't think of that. Including, and I'm not saying that's the case here, but we've all known, including those who would be identified as hypocrites in the church. You ever see people stand behind the hypocrite? Well, I'm just as good as, and they name someone whose life is totally inconsistent with their Sunday morning practice. Doesn't matter. That's not going to give you a free pass. We all need the blood of Jesus Christ. I can't blame Gary if I don't go to heaven. I can't blame my mom if I don't go to heaven, although she didn't know the truth. She didn't know the truth, and I'm not justifying that because she stuck to her Lutheranism. But it's a matter of our choice, because what did I have available to me? The Word of God. I had the Word of God available to me. And thank goodness I had someone, when we stumbled across the Lord's church, help us in our study of the Word of God. And that was also a good thing. So it went from one step to another to another. But the bottom line, it's my choice. I can't blame my wife if I'm lost. I have to blame myself. So again, yeah, if you go to hell, it's your choice. Okay, I've never heard that one before. I have heard this: if you can't go to worship with the hypocrite, you can't go to the grocery store. Because you think there's some hypocrites in the grocery store? So, I mean, you can take... But again, the situation what Daryl brought up, we tend to excuse ourselves. Again, God, how many does God want to save? All mankind. Jesus died for who?
Everybody.
Will everybody be saved? No. Few. Okay, because we don't submit to Jesus. And submitting to Jesus does not mean we earn our salvation. I'm working on a lesson on how people confuse some passages, that they look at obedience as doing your own works. No, obedience is what we're supposed to do. Obedience puts us into contact with the blood. You hear me say this all the time. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep that in your mind. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us the initial contact with God and continues us with God. 1 John chapter 1, but there's a stipulation. If we what? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, here's the key. The blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanseth us from all sins. What gets me to heaven? The blood of Christ. What's my responsibility? To maintain contact with the blood of Christ. What are these scoffers doing? Forgetting about the blood of Christ. They're going their own way because they're going after their fleshly desires. Okay. Yes. And we see that today. People walk according to their own lusts. Does most religious people you come into contact with, do they believe in like John 3:16? In fact, most of us could quote John 3:16, correct? For God so loved the world. Do they like as much Hebrews 5:9? Most people don't even pay attention to Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he's the author of eternal salvation to whom? All those that obey him. You see, so again, they want John 3:16, but they willfully forget Hebrews 5:9. You can't do it. They come together. Do they not? They're one with another. I can't have one without the other. Again, if he's going to save me, I've got to submit to him. Remember, what did Jesus say in John 14, 6? Now, but by me, remember, it's not lip service, because what's Luke 6:46 tells us? What does Luke 6:46 tell? Why callest and not do the things which I say? Do we have an obligation to do the things he says? If I want his blood, I do. Well, then he owes it to me. No, he owes you nothing. Because without his blood, do we even have a chance of having contact with God? No. So you see how people do this. All right, one more comment, okay, and then we'll move on. Gary?
Something that I got to study in Calvinism back some years ago, and I got to seeing some things that I didn't realize what they were saying, but they say that Christ died for us, and they mean that he died for us, the elect. He didn't die for everybody, he only died for the elect. And so then they say, well, if Christ died for us, that's our assurance that we will never have to die. Romans 6 tells us that we do have to die. We have to enter into his death.
Yeah.
Or we have to die with Christ. And so it's not true that we don't have to die.
And again, here comes the problem. People use terms like elect. Again, God elects us by what? By the pattern he has set forth. We choose to be elected. What's God's pattern? Romans 1:16 what? I'm not ashamed of what? Why? It's God's power, not my power. It's God's power to save. If I want to be part of that election, what do I need to do? Submit to the gospel. Just like predestined. Everybody gets preoccupied with this word predestined in Ephesians and some other places. The plan has been predestined, but you individually have not. Because God gives us freedom of choice. What's been predestined was the way God is going to save us, and that is through his Son. Started with Genesis 3:15, we see the fulfillment in the New Testament. But again, it's not the situation that God chose me and therefore there's nothing I can do. There's a lot we could deal with Calvinism. That's a whole detailed study there. But I'll give you one more option, then we're going on. Then we're going to tie your hands behind your back. Right.
And then Ephesians 1 tells us he chose us in him, and so he chose the realm in which the saved would be.
Amen. Amen. I agree. All right, let's look at the next question. Question number 3. List the verse, I want the verse, in this chapter where the return of Christ is spoken of will come as a thief in the night. What verse did you put down? Verse 10. If you didn't put verse 10, put verse 10 down. If you've got some other verses, that may be good or bad, but I definitely want you to have verse 10 also. Again, my questions, God could care less about my questions. This is just for participation in class. But the point is, he is not saying that the Lord's a thief. A thief comes at a time that's what?
Unexpected.
And therefore, the Lord's going to come at what time? Not expected. Again, we're not going to go into political what's going on today other than horrible things are going on overseas right now. Horrible, horrible things. If you've watched any of the news in the last 2 days, it's got to turn your stomach that you see what's going on. Again, what some of the religious people are going to do, they're going to tie that together and misuse Matthew 24 and warn the people we're close to the end. Now, number one, I don't know if we're close to the end. We may or may not be. But it's not determined what's going on in Jerusalem right now. It's not determined by other wars that are going on. It's determined when God wants it to come. And remember, at the end of Matthew 24, that time and hour knoweth who? No man. We don't know it. So it's futile for me to point out to these different things. You say, well, what's wrong with that, Chuck? Because then you get people to do that, which is right. Here's what's wrong with that. Because when we become so adamant of a specific close date, and that specific close date doesn't come, what happens to a lot of those people? They get discouraged. And then they don't want to trust anything you said because you've left that impression. So there is a problem with that. Be prepared. There is going to be war on this world. There's going to be hatred on this world till this world no longer is. True? Now, we need to try to be better people. We understand that. But there's going to be that. But that's not going to determine when God comes back, the Lord. He'll determine that. And therefore, he's going to come as the thief of the night. Where does it speak? Question four. Where does it speak of the day of judgment? What verse did you use? Someone said something. 12. I didn't use 12. Let me see if maybe you got something that I didn't include. Chapter 3, verse 12. Okay. All right. That's a good one. The teacher will agree. I think you've done good there. I had verse 7 where it talks about there the day, okay? And again, anybody else have other verses? I've already goofed up once. So we've got 7 and 12. Anybody else?
Verse 10.
Okay. That's what happens when I make questions that you can, okay, let's look at. Okay. All right. On the day of judgment, what are we going to be judged by? Okay. I heard a lot of noise, but I didn't hear anybody.
Our works.
I don't want to go much on this, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, remember, we're going to stand accountable for the things we've done. I'm going to pass on that because that's in my sermon on Sunday. But let's go to John 12:48. John chapter 12, verse 48. Are you there, Gary?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't looking at your Bible there. You want to read that?
He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day.
Okay, so here's the standard, the New Testament. Now, it's surprising, a lot of religious people. And understand, when I say a lot of religious people, it's not that they don't open up their Bibles, but they have been directed to the wrong sections. A lot of religious people think they're going to be judged by the Ten Commandments. Well, that's false because, number one, we're not under the Ten Commandments. If we were, we'd be keeping the Sabbath, and that would be on a Saturday, and we don't come together and keep the Sabbath on a Saturday. But a lot of people have been ingrained that we're going to be judged by the Ten Commandments. A lot more people think we're going to just be judged if we're good people. Do you agree with me that that's a lot of people? If I'm a good person, God's going to accept me.
A lot of the world just believes as long as they believe that Jesus is their Savior in their heart, that that's enough.
Okay, as long as they believe I like that. I'm not saying that that's right, but yeah, a lot of people do that. That they believe that Jesus is their Savior in their heart, and therefore the trouble is people don't try, because if you try, and God forbid you tell them there's a pattern, you're what? You're narrow-minded. You're judging. I got a lesson on judging, too. You're narrow-minded, you're judging. Now, the problem, though, is this. John 12:48, what are we going to be judged by? The Word of God. So that's what we ought to be looking at, the Word of God, to make sure our life's in harmony with this. I know you're tired of my silly illustration, but when I first moved back to Illinois, I was trying to become a firefighter in one of the suburbs, and I figured that would every third day. And they had a big test for all the candidates who wanted to be a firefighter. And how many people you showed up? Thousands. There had to be 2,000 or 3,000 people in this auditorium to take this test. And I was a little arrogant because I like taking tests. Hey, I'm ready for this test. Now, I had asked ahead of time, is there anything to prepare? And the guy who gave me the phone, oh, no, there's nothing you have to do. There's absolutely nothing. Just When the test date comes, you'll do fine. And I took his word for it. Guess what? I failed it miserably. I threw away $25, just like tossing it in the fire. I looked on that first page of the test. Your heart ever just sink down to your toes? I felt like just walking out. And then after the fact, I started researching, and there's a number of books that are out there to prepare you for what? The test. I was careless. I was lazy. I was self-confident. And I was 100% wrong. How do you think that ties together with people as they look towards the judgment? They're careless. They're lazy. They're self-confident. They've taken a few passages and been comforted by a few passages. And they're going to be wrong. And that, huh? Listen to the preacher. Don't listen to any preacher. Listen to the truth. Even what I say, make sure it's in harmony with the truth. Because trust me, there's people from churches of Christ, preachers, who are not teaching the truth. So don't just think that, quote, Church of Christ, that they got to be telling the truth. We of the Lord's church do not have a shot of immunity. So we have to make sure, you have to make sure what I say, you have to, in a couple of weeks, Daryl's going to be preaching. We have to make sure what he says. For those on the invitation, for Joe and others, we have to make sure what they say. And it's not that we don't trust them. It's not that we don't have confidence in them. It's that it's our obligation. Our obligation to study the truth so we don't get caught up by false teachers, correct? Anybody else? All right, brings to the question we talked earlier, but we'll go more detail. Who is spoken of as having long-suffering? Who has long-suffering? God. Amen to that. Aren't we glad you're not God? Aren't we glad I'm not God? I'm glad God is God, because he's a whole lot more long-suffering than I am. How about you? And that's why the end hasn't come. Now, it doesn't mean the end won't come. You know, he was long-suffering in the days of Noah, but those days what? They ran out. They ended. And Noah's spoken of as a preacher of what?
Righteousness.
So we have to assume. Now, that's taught in the New Testament, not in the actual event. We, at least I believe, we have to assume that while he's building the ark, he's trying to reach others. And it didn't work too well. It was only him and his family, right? So again, let's not forget God's patience will come to an end at some time. Yes?
God's not just a wrathful God looking for a chance to strike people dead. Where I think Paul is the ideal example of that, where he was out here persecuting Christians, consenting to Stephen's death, God's long-suffering and still desiring his salvation.
Okay. I'm glad you brought, since you brought up Paul, just real quickly. So Saul, who became Paul... Supposing you're a Christian, you knew of this man beforehand. Going to be apprehensive of him? Big time. This is a guy who's throwing people into prison. This is a guy who was there at Stephen's death. So again, you could see the apprehension people were, but again, he obeyed. And what that teaches me is don't count anybody out if they're willing to do that which is right. I learned that when I was in Minnesota. We went into a prison system because we had four men who had obeyed the gospel. Three had before they had attended, one during while he was in prison, Sandstone Prison. And the first time I went up in there, this one guy looked like a typical prisoner. He looked downright scary. And he sat at the table and put his hands on the table. And guess what he's got engraved on his hands? Hate. Oh, that's always exciting. Here's this guy, looks like he can slit your throat, and on his hand he's got hate. But he had become a Christian. And he was dedicated. Now, I don't know if he stayed dedicated when he got out. That's, you know. But again, you see how we tend to judge ahead of, God's not like that. God gives us the freedom of choice to make those right choices. Now, I would suggest this. I hope that when he got out, maybe, I don't know how you do it, got rid of the words hate off his hand. That would help some. And maybe once in a while put a smile on his face because he looked. But the rest, the three others, looked like they shouldn't have even been in there. You can't basically judge a book by its cover now, can you? So again, as we look at that, God is patient. Now, his patience doesn't mean that he's going to ignore his pattern. Let's go to, since we talk about the wrath of God, let's go to Romans 2. You know, God gets a bum rap here because we have a situation. God's patient with all of them. Then we talk about the wrath of God. And so how can God do that? Well, he gives people the freedom. Look at verses 4 all the way. Let's see. Verses 4 all the way to verse 11. Let's see. Tammy, you looked up. You want to read that for me? Okay, stop here. Wrath in the day of... Now, who's going to receive the wrath? Let's go on and read. Pretty simple, isn't it? Will there be people who receive God's wrath? Absolutely. Because they're self-willed. They're going to do things their way. Did Paul want the Jews to be saved? Did God want the Jews to be saved? Remember Romans chapter 10? He wished himself to be accursed. But the trouble is, they wouldn't receive him. They put aside God's righteousness and established their own righteousness. Now, who's at fault? They are, because God's righteousness is revealed to us through the Scriptures. So again, we have his long-suffering, but people don't use that to get better. They just take a few passages and think that's okay. And I know how that goes, because you know what? When I was a Lutheran, I thought I was saved. I thought I was a Lutheran saved Christian. Now, is that correct? No, that's not correct. But that's what I thought. And if I read passages on hope and in Christ, I would apply that to who? Myself. But was I applying it properly? No. Remember what I keep on telling you? People have to be helped to misunderstand the truth. I fully believe that. Now, I was helped to misunderstand the truth, not because my parent and my grandparents didn't love me. It's because that's all they knew. That's all they knew. And you get raised up in that family religion, and you don't challenge it. You know, mom and dad ain't going to, our mommy, I only had a mom. Mom's not going to do anything wrong for me. And she didn't intend to do anything wrong. Did she think she, you know, it was so funny because when I got a teenager, she was adamant that I'd get confirmed, that I had to go start going regularly to services so that I would get confirmed in the Lutheran Church. And boy, did she have a sigh of relief after I was confirmed. Now, I say that. She did that out of all sincerity. But none of that's according to what? The Scriptures. Now, later in life, she learned the truth and obeyed the gospel. I'm grateful to God for that. But I'm just saying, how many hundreds of thousands of people are in the same condition? So again, as we look at this, thank goodness for God's long-suffering. If his long-suffering would have ended in 1972, I would have been in a heap of trouble. Because I hadn't obeyed the gospel in 1972. So again, we have his long-suffering, yet let's use it to try to encourage others. Make sense? All right, let's look at the next question. I had Philippians 3, 20, 21, 1 Peter 1, 4, Revelation 21, 27. I know all of you as students of God studied those things. And they're all talking about heaven, our citizenship in heaven, the inheritance uncorruptible, and those only in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those three passages talk about that. Now, how does that tie together with 2 Peter 3, 13? Okay, the reward. How long am I here? Could be here for 90 years or 100, but this is not my home. I don't know if we sang the song here, but we have a song in many songbooks. This world is what? Not my home. Just passing through. Now we sing that. Do we believe that? There's a difference there. It's a beautiful song, but do we believe that? That I'm just passing through. Again, I look at the horrendous things going on overseas. Just makes me want to throw up. Babies' heads being cut off. Can you imagine that? Thank goodness we've got a place to go where none of that is going to happen. Where only those in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to have heaven. I tell you, if you've watched any of the news the past few days, it is horrendous. Thank goodness we are where we're at and what God has given to us. Thank goodness this is not our forever home. Because if this was our forever home, we've got a lot of problems with our forever home, wouldn't we?
You were saying last week or whatever it was, we have to cope with evil every day.
That's right. That was my lesson. It's daily challenge. Daily challenge. Question number 7. Why is it important to be diligent? So you can make your call in election, sure, absolutely. Or you could have also, and that's exactly right. But I have verse 14 for that. If you had any verse down, I had verse 14 for that. That is the answer. And that is we need, and there's a difference between just casually going along and being diligent. Not a parallel. How many of you have taken a young child their first time to Disney World? Raise your hand. Okay, how are they that first time they want to go there? Are they diligent to get up and get to that park? Yeah, they're up 2 or 3 hours before the park even opens, letting you know it's time to go, it's time. You keep on time, it's not time to go. When my granddaughter first seen the castle, she scared everybody on that tram. She screamed. Everybody thought she was being killed. No, she screamed because she saw the castle. My other granddaughter, her first time, she hugged one of the characters. I felt sorry for the character. They probably thought they were never going to be released. You know, just the diligence these small kids have for some. Think of our diligence for where we're going. Go ahead, Daryl. Oh, I thought you had your hand up.
And when that plane landed, he was still going on. And his mom said, "No, Mickey's asleep right now, so we'll go see him in the morning." And that elderly man was tapped that little kid on the shoulder and said, "Son, Mickey doesn't sleep."
Oh! He wanted the same with the family that was done for him 2 hours on the flight. Well, how many hours on the flight? All right, that's a good. All right, for next week, because we're running out of time, we'll do question 8. And next week, we'll do page 38. If we don't finish page 38, that's where we'll stop. And then the following week, we'll start on Philippians. So next